the state of lending.
Finding a lender that will invest is really important.
Welcome to the Mortgage Impact Podcast, your home for industry-related marketing, branding, leadership, and technology news, best practices, and more. Whether you're a loan officer or a senior executive, this podcast will help you make an impact in the mortgage industry. Now, here's your host, Jake Failing.
Welcome to another episode of the Mortgage Impact Podcast. I'm your host, Adam O'Daniel, here with Lindsay Goins, a all-star performer from Movement Mortgage. She has been one of the all-time leading originators at Movement, perennial top 10, President's Club member. And we're here at Engage Marketing, the annual marketing conference put out by Housing Wire. Lindsay was just one of the speakers talking about LOs and marketing. Welcome to the show, Lindsay.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm really excited, feel blessed to be here. It's a cool event.
It is. It's a lot of fun. We've got, I think they said 350 marketing and mortgage professionals from all over the country who are here today to learn about marketing strategies and how marketers and LOs can work better together. But what I want to do is get you to just tell a little bit about your story, because you've got a great story since you came to Movement Mortgage. Just give folks who are listening a quick intro to kind of your career story, you know, what you were doing early in your career and then why you came to Movement and how things have taken off since then for you.
You know, that's really funny. My mother actually got me into the mortgage industry.
Really?
Yeah, I started out of college as a teller. You know, I thought that when you graduated from college that people just called you up to give you a job. I had no concept of internships, send out resumes, apply. I just thought, okay, I got my college degree. Now what? Right. My mom says, stop working at TGI Fridays and put your resume in at Bank of America. So that's where she actually worked for 46 years.
Wow.
And so I started as a teller, was pissed off that they made me a teller. But I sold the most credit cards on the teller line. That's what I tell people. Yeah. Selling mortgages is not hard. Try selling a credit card on the drive-through number lane 3.
And you did that, though.
Yes. Yeah. I still remember Mooresville in front of Belk's. It's awesome. So her branch manager had applied to be an AEA, junior account executive, or assistant.
Yep.
And so like a junior loan officer. And his manager talked him out of it and said, oh, if you go be a salesperson, you'll always be a salesperson. So don't do it. So my mom said, hey, I know about this job. And I'm like, I think I just called my loan officer at 8 p.m. and she answered. She's like, why are you calling at 8? I'm like, oh, I was just going to leave a message.
Yeah.
You know, that's what everyone says. So I kind of knew about the time sacrifice early on, but I liked the idea of like being a part of helping someone purchase a home. I had just bought a house. The loan officer role is so intrinsically part of the process.
Right.
You know, people will say all the time, do we think a computer could take the place of a loan officer? And I'm like, there is no way. The questions and emotions that we deal with as loan officers, you can't replace that with a computer.
Right.
So I started at Bank of America as a junior loan officer. It was really tough. You know, I like to know everything quickly and all the different caveats of underwriting and processing and loan conditions. It's like mortgage is its own language, and it's not a language that's easily deciphered. You know, it takes experience, and with experience is heartache and pain, because you learn the guideline by the customer not qualifying. And then the loan officer is the person that communicates the denial, and it's really tough.
Yeah.
But I learned early on how I wanted to run my business. I wanted to be upfront, quick, efficient, get the answer early. And at the company that I was working for, it was the complete opposite. The underwriter wouldn't really look at the file until the end.
Right.
So I'm so grateful for the training that I got there, because I knew what I wanted and I knew how I wanted to assemble my career, so to say.
Yeah.
So I had to learn the underwriting guidelines up front myself.
Yep.
And that has really attributed to my success immensely. I think knowing the loan, the client and realtor or builder rep can pick up on that immediately, so they know I'm in control of the loan process.
Yep.
They know that they're in good hands. They feel safe with me, because if, like saying how hard it is to know loans, and I've been doing it for 12 years, I still learn new things. There's no way that a client knows the process or can research enough to know the process.
And then fast forward a few years, 2011, 2012, opportunity comes along for you to join what was then still a pretty young company, Movement Mortgage.
It was, Darren Pennington.
Darren Pennington said, come join us.
What attracted me?
What changed, and how did that kind of, what attracted you to Movement, and then how did it change your career?
You know, it changed my career so much. What attracted me to Movement Mortgage is the 671 process. I was working for another mortgage company at the time for about a year, and their turn time would go from 3-day initial underwrite to 3 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
And I just said, I'm not going to try to get more business. I can't service my client on this turn time. I did a very small amount of business. I was borrowing money for gas from my broke sister. I mean, it was tough. A lot of credit card debt when I came to Movement Mortgage. And so it was the fact that the process was part of their foundation. So I knew even if they couldn't underwrite it in 6 hours, I would take 2 or 3 days all day. And you know what the crazy part is? It's always been one day. Yeah. It has never gone over 1 day initial underwrite. And so, and that's almost 7 years.
Yeah.
So Movement's a testament to you touch the loans less, you close them faster, so you can do more.
Yeah.
Or for those people that don't want to do more, you have more of a time, personal time.
Yeah.
And it's changed me a lot, you know, being able to be like a woman of my word and not have files crash and burn at the end is so important to me. I used to cry. I know this is so corny. I'm like so emotionally involved in my deals. I would like be crying. The other loan officers would be like, God, I feel so sorry for her at Bank of America. And now I'm like only cry like maybe once a quarter.
I can tell. Like every time I talk to you and hear you tell stories about your clients and about your business, you really do get just emotionally connected to your borrowers, to the real estate agents that you work with. Where does that come from, that care and concern that you have for each individual person that you serve?
I think that my personality, I'm very competitive.
Yep.
But I will never sacrifice the volume for the client care.
Yeah.
Because I want for people, when they talk about me in the market and in the streets, to say, she did a good job, I enjoyed working with her. I don't want to have a negative reputation. So if I can only do 10 loans a month and service the client properly, then that's all I'll do. But I don't want to do 10 loans a month. I want to do 50 loans a month. So at Movement, their support is so insane, how they support me. And I think it's because we're on the same page with doing the business the right way. And so, like, my underwriting manager, I text him. You know, I run scenarios by them. I treat my ops partners with respect so they respect me and treat me well.
Yeah.
So it's like such a balanced relationship that I have. We're definitely on the same team, whereas most companies take ops versus sales like they're not on the same team type thing. They want to keep them at an arm's length, and Movement is not like that. And I'm just so blessed to work here. I say it every single day. And, you know, the team growth has been the hardest part, because when you do a lot of business and you have the struggle of people that may not, you know, don't want to be a loan officer, but they're still having to work really hard. So you got to find like-minded people who want to treat the client well.
Right.
And do a good job and be thorough. Because if you miss something on the upfront process as a loan officer, it comes out in the end and it sacrifices the customer service level that you have.
And I've seen you've built that team. And if you look across the whole company, you know, you're certainly one of the leaders, but there's many others like you who have
absolutely
understand that client care. They understand the importance of the 671 process and building a team that really gets it. But I want to know, how many units are you going to do this year? Because this has been a busy start to the year for you. What's kind of your goal this year?
You know, I'm working with a new coach.
Yeah.
I am always trying to improve my process. I'm always trying to grow. I wake up every single day saying, what can I change today to be better? And so my new coach and I are focusing on locks.
Nice.
And that's a new concept for me.
Yep.
Versus apps or fundings.
Yep.
I used to be very app oriented.
Right.
Where I would say, okay, I have to do this many apps to fund this many loans. So now, or generate this many leads to get this many apps to fund this many loans. So now I'm really focusing on locking a specific amount of loans a day. You know, last year I did 385 units. We definitely want to do over 400. You know, the elusive 100 million for me has been a goal that I've had for now 3 years.
Yep.
So the rate dip has helped so much. I'm calling on refinances, which is not my bread and butter, but you know, it's a great, easy way to pick up loans that you don't have to get documents on. Because my business, with it being a lot of new construction, I'm processing the loan twice, which is something I've done for 12 years now with my builder that I'm on. So I've learned that model, but it does take extra time. I'm talking to the clients twice as much versus a 30-day closing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm trying to diversify my business. I have two realtor partners that I'm working with. They have teams. So I'm about 30%, 35% existing homes, you know, maybe 10% past client.
Yep.
So really trying to focus in on the database. You know, we, the loan officers that have been in this market for so long, being able to contact your past clients when you have a great closing process is like such a no-brainer. They want to hear from me so bad.
Right.
So, you know, keeping in touch with past clients is so top of mind.
I'm amazed, you know, at the amount of volume that you guys can do. I mean, we're talking 400 home buyers in a year, $100 million in volume. What does your day look like? Like, do you ever sleep? What's a typical day for Lindsay look like?
You know, about 4 or 5 years ago, I said I refuse to sacrifice my personal life for my job.
Good for you.
So I like to wake up and work out early.
Okay.
I have this great gym on South Boulevard
you,
I love.
What time do you get up?
About 5:30.
So you're 5:30.
5:30. I go to the gym at 6 to 6:45.
Okay.
Then I get ready. I try to be in the office by 8:30 or 9. I don't put too much pressure on myself. Most loan officers, you know, try to get in super early. I mean, I do probably one day a week get there by like 8, 7:30, 8. Mondays I work late till probably 8. That's
okay.
The day I know I'm always going to work late. But every other day I try to leave by like 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
I force myself out. I may still take a call or two, but I don't do emails at night. I do not put my computer back up at night.
Okay. I need to learn that lesson.
I think that the email trap is my biggest trap
it
because
can
I can literally, all the calls flow through me. No one on my team takes phone calls.
Right, they all ring
the
to
leads
you.
Come to me. I want it to be a personal business. I want that realtor or builder rep that's referring me to know their client's calling Lindsay's cell phone and it's only her cell phone. It's my real number, you know?
Yeah.
You know, with text and stuff, I love it. You know, you can text while you're talking to somebody else. And, you know, it's just a lot of tug and pull.
How often does that happen? How often are you on the
constantly.
Phone with one client and texting another one?
Constantly.
Yeah.
I think that I wish I had a phone that I could see more of the text in the one screen.
So you know how you have like the two monitors?
I only have one monitor.
Yeah. So at my desk I have, you know, two monitors. What you need is like two or three monitors that just show all your texts and phone calls. Right?
I love the texting. They'll be like, you can text so fast. Older people text now. Everyone texts.
Everybody texts.
And then it's so much easier than chatting because I spend so much more time on the phone because I'll talk longer. But you know, my day is
probably strike me as a talkative person. Really? You like to talk?
I can talk, babe.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you come into my office and sit there, you get tired of hearing me talk.
Yeah.
I tell my team, I'm like, y'all tired of hearing me? And I'm loud. And the less the client understands, the louder I get.
Yeah.
They're like, they're not going to get it any better if you talk louder. I'm like, oh, yes, they do. Or they stop asking questions.
All right. I'm gonna wrap us up because I know you've got texts that you need to get to right
now. I'm ignoring them.
Okay.
Ignoring all of them.
It's buzzing in your bag while we're sitting here. So you just did a panel discussion here at the Engage Housing Wire Engage Marketing Conference, and Lindsay gave some great advice there about how she deals with marketers. But you know, I know we have a lot of LOs and others in the real estate business who are listening to this podcast. If you're looking at how to take your business to the next level, and you've done that a couple times, you took it to kind of a new territory when you came to Movement, you've done it two or three times since you've been at Movement Mortgage. What advice would you give to that person who says, I think I'm ready to go kind of to that next level in my business? What's kind of a general practice?
You have to give something up.
Okay.
You absolutely have to not be afraid to give something up. So I went from 40 to 70 by getting someone who can review the documents up front to submit to underwriting.
Yeah.
And then I went from 70 to 90 by hiring an inside sales girl that helps me calculate income and do that first touch with the client, like we've got your application, and keep them engaged.
Right.
I've always managed the credit review, the pricing of the loan. I do that for everyone. But it's all different for everyone's business. But you are not going to grow. You can't do more.
Yeah.
I can't do more. So I created email rules that really was a game changer. I think I went on a rampage like 3 years ago. Like, I get 25 emails for one appraisal. I close 40 loans a month. I mean, do the math. That's like 250 emails just on appraisals.
Right.
That's absurd. I can't, even just the clicking, open, delete, you know, those 3 seconds that it takes to do that all add up. So I try to like psychoanalyze everything during my day that I'm doing and what can I give away that doesn't sacrifice me communicating with the client, because my ability to connect is what gets the client.
Yeah.
So I give away administrative tasks to people who can handle them, create rules, create a process, and make sure your teammate that you're giving the process to knows what their job role is.
Yeah.
You show them by doing it, then you let them do it, and you don't go behind and do that for them. I see loan officers that try to send an email to their assistant, turn right around and do what they just asked the email to say, because they're so hyper diligent on not giving something up. I'm like, I'm bought into all the technology that we have. I try to send everyone to the online app. You know, I try to do the least amount of administrative work and do the most connection with the client.
Yep. There you have it. So from Lindsay Goins, $100 million producer.
Almost.
Almost. I'm giving you credit for it, okay? We're going to round up today. We're going to round up.
There's no rounding up in my mind.
Okay. She doesn't round up. It's got to be legit.
Yeah.
If you want to get ahead, you've got to give something up and then build a team that you trust to take on those tasks.
Absolutely.
I think that's a lesson I can learn.
And let
Lindsay,
them fail.
Let them fail. Let them learn and then see them grow and get ahead, right?
Yeah.
Man, thank you so much for being here. This has been
my
a lot
pleasure.
Of fun. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
See and we'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Mortgage Impact Podcast. You can find old episodes, show notes, and much more at mortgageimpactpodcast.com and wherever you get your podcasts. Please like, comment, and share, and we look forward to having you back on a future episode.